instrument of reconciliation. It's about the subject of bridge building. And the next screen, please. The study on the life of Onesimus, and we will study the book of Philemon, only one chapter, and we will study it verse by verse. Now, I have prepared this particular message for a very specific person, and that's me, myself. Because as a minister of the gospel, it is very easy for me to offend someone or people. My jokes can easily offend someone. The way I dress, the way I smile or not smile at people can easily offend people. Friends and family members and fellow minister can easily be offended at me when I carelessly talk about someone else's weaknesses or faults. And therefore, as a result, I end up breaking bridges or burning bridges. So, what do you do when those things happen? What I need you to do is listen carefully to what I have to share with you. And if possible, if you do not understand our service today, it's available online in our website. Now, there is a verse in James. Next verse. Next screen. Here is the verse in James chapter 3, verse 2. It says, "We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check." Now, look at the following verse in verse 6. It says, the tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. What does it do? It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and then it says, it is itself set on fire by hell. These two verses tell us that no one is exempted. If you think that you're a better person to the person next to you, if you think that you are holier than the next person, the Bible says we all stumble in many ways. Now, and the reason we experience falling and stumbling in many ways is because of our tongues. Your tongue and my tongue, it is an ultimate insult to tell anyone to watch their mouths if we ourselves don't watch ours. And before I can tell anyone or any person to watch their mouth, I must look at myself first and watch mine. The Bible clearly teaches us that our tongue is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole persons, and therefore we need to take care of our own mouths. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you. This message is for all of us. I said this as a way of introductions to our main text. Many times when I preach a subject, it has a general application, and no matter where you are, you will still get some general application in it. But this message today is very specific. Learn how to build bridges or how to build relationship. Now, next screen. Paul is one of the greatest encourager and mediator between two people who are not in good terms with each other. In this letter, his letter to Philemon, he demonstrated how he wanted to bring reconciliation between a slave he led to Christ in prison in Rome. The name was Onesimus. And then Philemon, the master or the slave owner. Paul also led Philemon to the Lord while he was in Asia Minor. Now, these two, Onesimus, Philemon, they're fighting. Okay? Someone offended someone and he got hurt and he could not forgive that person. So that person ran away. But before he ran away, he took some property that belongs to his master. Now, these two people won't talk to each other. Philemon and Onesimus were not in good terms. The bridge between Philemon and Onesimus had been broken. The line of communication had been destroyed. And Paul wants to build the bridge between them. You see, brothers and sisters, look at the big pictures. A godly mediator is one who builds bridges between two people, not walls. They are called the agents of reconciliation. And I can honestly say to you that I have failed in many ways, many times, big time. It is only by the grace of God that I can continue in the ministry. But God is not finished with me yet. God's grace is sufficient for me, and my calling as a minister is to continue in spite of the many mistakes that comes along the way. What I need to share with you this morning is five principles for effective bridge building. And the pictures you need to look at is your own backyard. If you can think of two people right now who know and love the Lord, in your family or outside your family, if you can think of two believers in Christ that are in good terms, that you are in good terms with both of them, but they are not in good terms with each other, then you have a serious responsibility before the Almighty God to step in between those two people and to bridge and to build bridge and bring them together. Maybe some of you are saying, that's not for me. Wow, I wish the person that I know would be here. This is for her. No, this is for him. This is for us, brothers and sisters. Maybe some of you can think of several couples. Maybe it's your wife or a husband, or maybe a mother-in-law. Maybe it's your own cell group leader or someone you know. Maybe it's an elder or a pastor. Maybe it's between two women in the church or two men in the church. Whatever. If you know two people who are believers of Jesus Christ, you are in good terms with both of them, but they're not in good terms with each other. God wants you to be in between. And the question is, how do we do this? Is it easy? No way. Look at number one. Operate from God's love, not law. Here is the reference on that one. The next one. Paul wanted to get Onesimus and Philemon back together. And he begins to talk about how he could do it technically and by the book, by the law. But instead of doing that, the way of the law, the way of procedure, he took another way. He took the way of love. And look at how he did it. In verse 8 and 9, he said, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on what? I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, Paul, as an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Look at the next screen. I want you to notice the phrase in Christ. Because the boldness that we have is the boldness in Christ. I have to confess to you, brothers and sisters, that I have been preaching for many, many years now since I came to Canada back in 1984. And every time I come to the pulpit or invited to a pulpit to preach in another church, I feel very nervous and my hands are sweating and very cold. And maybe you would not believe it, but it's true. Later on, I shake my hands and still sweaty and cold. And the reason I can stand in front of you today is because of the boldness in Christ. Not in the diploma. I have a master's degree in theological studies at Tyndale. Not in the certificate. It is in Christ. Christ gives me the strength. He is the one who gives me the authority. Christ, he is the one who gives me the anointing whenever I prepare the message. Paul was a great theologian. He has a mind equivalent to a person who has a PhD degree. A mind of a person who spent most of his time studying the Word of God. But he did not use those things. His confidence is in Christ. It's good to have certificates. It's good to have some diplomas. But we should not put our confidence in them. Say amen. Paul said it is in Christ. Without Christ, everything is worthless. Even food bank. Without Christ, it could be worthless. Even small group ministries. Without Christ, it's worthless. It is in Christ. New Canadian ministry, without Christ, it's worthless too. It is in Christ that we have this boldness. Now, I want you to notice that Paul has an authority over Philemon. You know why? Because Paul was an apostle. As an apostle of Jesus Christ, he has the highest position of servanthood in the body of Jesus Christ. Philemon was a regular member in the church of Colossae. But Paul has an authority over him. Look at his words. Although in Christ, I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do. Meaning to say, you know what, Philemon? I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. I am your pastor. I could just tell you, do this now in Jesus' name. He didn't do that. The Apostle Paul has the wisdom of God. Instead of operating under the law, under the rightness of procedure, he took the way of love. Being always right at all time is not necessarily God's way. There is a better way, the way of love. And Paul, having the wisdom of God, took the way of love. Brothers and sisters, there is a big difference between the way of the law and the way of love. The way of the law demands that you do it by the book, according to the book. No more, no less, then I'll be happy. But the way of love pleads. It begs. It bows down to the floor, asking permission. Although in Christ I could be bold and order you. But look at the next screen. It says, yet I appeal. I appeal to you on the basis of love. For the sake of God's love. Paul was not saying to Philemon, because there is an issue between Philemon and Onesimus. He is saying, for the sake of God's love, I'll just drop the subject and pretend that there was no problem. He did not say that. Paul did not say, for the sake of love, I'll just go blindfold my eyes and pretend that everything is all right. He did not say that. Paul knew that God's love is not an excuse to avoid issues. That is not love at all. Love has nothing to do with if we act, but instead, love is how we act. And the way Paul acted is in love. He pleaded with Philemon. He made an appeal. He begs Philemon on the basis of God's love. I want you to notice the last part of verse 9. Next one. This is the last part of verse 9. This is Paul's explanation why he was making an appeal to Philemon. He said, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. I then, as Paul, an old man, and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I want you to understand what Paul was saying here. This is actually a gentle rebuke. A loving rebuke, if you may call it. In a sense, what Paul is saying is, look here, Philemon. I can come and fix these problems for you. But right now, it is very impossible for me to do it. First of all, I'm an old man already. My physical strength is almost ready to leave me. And not only that, Philemon, I'm in prison for Christ. My hands are chained. My legs are chained. And I'm dying here in this dungeon. Philemon, I have been out here preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. I have been in prison. I've been in prison for the sake of Christ. I've been flogged. I've been carrying this cross. All of my life, I'm suffering for the cross of Christ. While you enjoy your time in your church. This thing that I'm asking you to do is not really a big thing, Philemon. Your personal differences with Onesimus is not really a heavy load. You know, brothers and sisters, if we can only grasp the meaning of what Paul is saying here, we will be ashamed of ourselves. You know why? In many parts of the world, Christians are being tortured for their faith. They live on a day-to-day basis. They don't know whether they're going to be alive tomorrow. And yet here in North America, we fight what color of the rooms would be. We fight what colors of the carpet would be. We fight on the arrangement of how the church is going to look like. While people there in the Middle East and third world countries are dying for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, Philemon is saying to us, this little thing that you do in your church, this is little things. You should get together and love each other. Whether the subject is big or tiny things, Jesus said, you must operate in love, not law. Principle number 2. Believe that God changes people. How many of you believe that God changes people? Say amen. Amen. Do you believe in your heart that God can change people? The answer is yes. An effective bridge builder is a person who believes that God can change people. He has confidence in God that no matter how bad was the failure of another person, God can still bring changes in the life of that individual to make him the kind of person God wanted him to be. You have to believe that God is in the business of changing people. Look at the next verse. Verses 10 and 11. I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and me. Now, in this section of the passage, Paul was describing to us that Onesimus was formerly a slave of Philemon. He ran away from his master. He had stolen some property from his master, and he was a liability to Philemon. He was a quitter, and he was a big-time loser. From Colossae, he ran away, and he ended up in Rome. While he was in Rome, he committed another crime, and he ended up in prison. That was where he met Paul, because Paul was in prison. You know, he came into the room and he saw a guy inside, and it was Paul. Okay? Paul led him to Christ. And his life was never the same. God was in the business of changing people. Look again in verse 11. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful for both to you and me. From being useless to useful, 100% turnaround. Say amen. God is in the ministry of changing people. You see, it is important that we really believe that God changes people. Because if we don't, then it will be hard for us to give those who failed once, twice, or even third time another chance to start up again. If we keep on saying, oh brother, enough is enough, I know that person, he will never change anymore. He did it once, and he did it twice, and he did it a third time. You can never trust that person anymore. If that is your view right now, I am telling you lovingly, you are in the wrong church. It is important that in our church, the Community Alliance Church, be immersed in the attitudes of grace. Because the church of Jesus Christ is composed of imperfect people in which God continuously brings changes in the lives of the people. And if you think you are the perfect man or woman, that you never make mistakes, then you are in the wrong church. This is not the church. Believe that God changes people. Next screen, please. Number three, expect the best from people. And the next screen. Here, verse 12. I like this verse 12. He said, I am sending him, who? I am sending him, Onesimus, who is my very heart. How many of you have that pictures inside of your body? You have? The reason you're here, because you have. But you remove that, you're a dead man. But look at what Paul is saying here. I am sending him back, who is my very heart, back to you, Philemon. There is a form of humor that you can see in this story. And I want you to imagine the reaction of Philemon as he reads the letter of Paul. Now, we have to go back to verse 1. Okay, next one. Here is the whole one sheet of paper that he received from the mail. He said to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in New Rome. Look at the reaction of Philemon. Wow! Philemon was all excited because even though Paul mentioned Apphia, Archippus, and others, he was so glad that his name was number one on top of the list. Yay! Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 4, he said, I always thank my God as I remember you in prayers. Look at his reaction. Oh, Paul is praying for me. That's great. So he reads through the whole letter, right? He reads through the whole letter with all excitement. When he came to verse 10, he was shocked. Look at verse 10. There. He read a name that he doesn't want to hear. He said, I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. What is he doing here in this letter? who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. You can see the anger, the surge of anger inside of Philemon. He said, Martha, Paul is sending back Onesimus. Bring me my gun. The feeling of anger can easily deceive us. I have experienced it in my life, and I'm pretty sure that some of you have experienced that also in your life. We don't think right when we are angry. We don't make right decision when we are angry. Paul is teaching us here that the reason he wants to send back Onesimus to Philemon is to finish the final stage of the bridge. He wants to send Onesimus, the offender, to Philemon, the person whom he offended, and to personally bridge the gap that separates them for a long time. And that is the best thing to do. When you are wrong, do not defend it. Okay? Men and women, when you are wrong, do not defend it. The best thing to do is admit that you made a mistake, that you were wrong, and then you ask for forgiveness to the person whom you wounded. Paul expected the best from Onesimus, but he also expected the best from Philemon. If you have been wrong with someone and the relationship has been fractured, you have to make it right. You cannot just be right with God. You need to be right with the person also. I don't think Onesimus was full of joy and gladness in coming back to Philemon. No way. He knows how Philemon would react. This is hard for him to do. And yet he's coming back to Philemon. Why? Because it is what God wants him to do. Next screen. Be willing to make a sacrifice. I believe this is where the rubber meets the road on being a bridge builder. Because in verse 13, here's the verse 13 here. Next screen, please. Paul said, I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. You know, Paul did not want to send back Onesimus to Philemon if it were all possible. Onesimus was an encouragement to Paul while he is in prison. He was useful to Paul. He wanted to keep him for good. To stay behind prison bars is not a happy moment. Onesimus was a friend to Paul. Onesimus was a prayer partner with Paul in prison. But to be an agent of reconciliation will always require a sacrifice. Paul was making more sacrifice to send his friend away. He calls him his very heart. And one major reason why Christians don't get in the middle when building bridges is because they want to play it safe. This is what you will hear them say, okay? You know what, Pastor Ben? I have great thing going on with both people that you mentioned to me. I'm such an agreeable person. I just get along with everybody. Why would I mess that up? If they have some personal problems, if they cannot fix it themselves, that's their problem. I'm not getting in between them. I'm safe here. And therefore, while we smile, two people, maybe four people, maybe many people are hurting and they're fighting each other. Brother and sisters, if that is your mentality, you are adding salt to the wounds. You are adding more fuel to the fire. God wants you to be a bridge builder. God is not right with either of those people until they are right with each other. God is the one hurting and Satan is the one clapping when two Christians are fighting. Put it this way. If one Christian leaves the church because they could not be reconciled to each other, the one who stay cannot say, I'm the winner, I kick him out, he's gone, I'm happy. Is that something to be proud of? Our mandate from God is go and make disciples, not go and kick some people. It is not easy to be a bridge builder. Now, next screen. How many of you have heard this expression? Chancing one's arm. This is from Ireland. Now, I'm going to read the story. There's two screens I'm going to read. Go ahead. Here. In 1492, there were two families in Ireland, the Ormonds and the Kildares. They lived near St. Patrick Cathedral. They were in the midst of a bitter fighting that had gone for a long time. In one of their fightings, Sir James Butler, the Earl of Ormond, took refuge with his families and followers in the chapter house of St. Patrick's Cathedral in Dublin. One family on one side of the door, another family on the other side. So they were trying to kill each other. And somehow the Spirit of the Lord broke upon the heart of Gerald Fitzgerald, the Earl of Kildares, came to realize that the feud was nonsense and tried to make peace. In order to prove that no villainy was intent and that his desire for reconciliation was genuine, what he did is he cut a hole in the door, and right after he made a hole, he slowly put his arms through the hole. Sir James Butler, the Earl of Ormond, could not believe what he just saw. He could have easily cut those arms hanging through the hole, but he did not do that. Instead, he shook the hand, opened the door, and they embraced. The two families reconciled to each other, and from that noble gesture came the expression, chancing one's arm. You can Google it too. One person took chance to give his hand for reconciliation. He put himself at risk to bridge the gap that separates them. To be an instrument of reconciliation is to be willing to make a sacrifice. How much sacrifice have you done just to bring two people who are not in good terms with each other? Number five. Last but not the least, point to a sovereign purpose. And here's the reference. This is my last screen. Right there. Paul said to Philemon, Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back for good. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a man and as a brother in the Lord. Let me break these two verses in a different form. Paul is saying to Philemon that all of these things happen because God is looking forward to a sovereign purpose in all of it. Paul is saying to Philemon, perhaps, take notice of that word, perhaps, Onesimus stole from you. He ran away from you. He went to Rome to hide from you. While he was in Rome, he committed another crime. He got caught and thrown into the prison. Perhaps God's plan is that he would be staying beside me in prison so that he will be led to Christ. And he will mature in his faith. All, Philemon, so that he could come back to you for good. And when you see him, do not treat him as a slave anymore. Treat him as a dear brother in the Lord. Be reconciled to him. This has a profound application for all of us. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. There are times when God allowed hurtful things to happen in our lives only so that he can accomplish revival and renewal in our lives. And there are many Christians who have gone through difficult times in their ministry, have come up and testified all the foolish things they have done in the ministry, wrong decisions have made at the wrong time, hurtful words said to people, and all of those things were allowed by God to happen because for a sovereign purpose that God is working in the lives of these people, there must be a sovereign purpose why those things are happening. One thing I've learned in our marriage relationship, God has allowed us many times to have disagreements, hurtful words exchanged, finger pointing and blaming one another. But the best part, me and my wife, is when we get reconciled, it's more sweeter, it's more lovelier. And I have to go back and find some roses and to give it to her. And then I said, I missed you. Be reconciled. And that is also true in our Christian relationship. Whenever two people get reconciled back together, the bond of love and trust is sweeter and stronger afterwards. When two people recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their relationship, they begin to drop their weapons and come down before the Lord. It is when we surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ that Satan is defeated. The ultimate goal of Satan in this church is to divide us, to plant hatred, to build walls in our relationship. But God is in the business of building bridges. I ask you again, for the second time, do you know of two people right now who are not in good terms with each other, but you are in good terms with both of them? God wants you to be a bridge builder. Bridge the gap that separates them. And allow yourself to become a minister of grace. Let us